Yes, professional trainer. You know, actually, I have the most interesting title at my place of work. It is Master Learning Facilitator. Have you ever heard a title like that? Master Learning Facilitator. And boy, do I get a lot of grief from my coworkers about it. They always say the word master with a certain inflection in it that makes it sound like they think that it's kind of odd that I'm called that. But all I really have to do with that role is I take all the other trainers and I train them how to train. That's my job. And kind of a fun thing to do. And I'm finding out, because sometimes I fill in for some of these trainers, like they have to be away for a few days because of family issues or something, and I'll step into the course. And I was really surprised that nobody got this reference. I sent the class off on a break, and I said, "Now, I want you to come back from the break when Mickey's big hand is on the 10. And they all just looked at me. Do you know what I'm referring to? The Mickey Mouse watch, right? We all used to want Mickey Mouse watches with Mickey's hands going around. And so when Mickey's hand was on the 10, it would mean it's 10 minutes to the hour. And there's a whole generation that does not know the Mickey Mouse watch. And yet I still see them in stores shelves. But nobody knows about Mickey Mouse watch. So, yes, I'm getting aged. I'm getting very aged. And so there's many meetings, too. So what have you been up to lately? One of them is we just did. Hey, what were you up to today? We asked each other. That's one of the ways of looking at what have you been up to lately. Another level is I haven't been here since spring. And you may wonder, what have I been up to lately? Well, you heard about my career. I can tell you something that it's sad news, but it's joyous news as well in another way. And that is that, one of the reasons we moved back to Oregon and I settled into the career I did after having served in churches for so many years was because I'd come home to take care of my mother. I should say Crystal and I came home to take care of my mother because she was with her. A lot of the care was Crystal's doing. And my mother, who was born in 1923, she passed away this spring and went to be with the Lord and her Savior. And she had a long life of being a wonderful blessing to so many people. When we gathered for her memorial, I had no idea what she meant to her church and how much she did for that church. Even one story coming up how she, because she was a bookkeeper treasurer for the church many years, a stickler for pennies, the kind of person who would jump for joy because she reconciled the checkbook to the penny. She loved doing that. Turned out she saved the church from a lawsuit because of that, because of her record keeping, because a contractor was going to sue the church over something. And just little things like that, her teaching, her piano playing. But to me, she was just mom. And though she had suffered polio as a child, her whole life was defined by that, she never let that get in the way of just a wonderful positive attitude and her love for the Lord. So we were able to say goodbye to my mom this spring. And it's changed Crystal's in my life a little bit because we were so tied to her care. It's given us some freedoms, but we miss her too. That's quite a bit. So probably that's the big thing that I've been up to. But this, so what have you been up to lately that we see on the wall, I'm talking about Jesus, because we know what Jesus was up to when he ministered here on earth. We know what he did. We've got these stories in our brain pretty good. We're pretty aware of the kinds of things that he had done. We know the Jesus who we teach every week in the scriptures, the Jesus who sat with the children, the Jesus who healed, the Jesus who went alone to pray. We know this Jesus. We know the stories of Jesus walking the roads of Palestine We've got that idea. We've seen his conflicts with those who found it hard to believe that the Son of God had come. We know his struggles with unbelief among the people who he was ministering to. But we know the joys of lives that were set free, of people who were made whole. We know all of those things. As a matter of fact, we can pretty well picture the day of Jesus, a day in his life. We've heard it so much that we can picture it all. We can play movies in our head about who Jesus is and what his life was like when he was in the world those many years ago. In one day, if we were to picture a typical day of Jesus, we've heard the stories of him going alone to pray, of taking the time to commune with his heavenly Father. And before the disciples would get up, he would get up. And it was a regular occurrence and not surprising to the disciples when they got up in the morning and Jesus wasn't there. Or they got up in the morning because Jesus came back from his prayer and he's giving them a little nudge saying, all right, let's get going. We know that. We know because we can picture it through reading the scriptures, through dramatic presentations that we have seen, what it would be like to travel the roads of Palestine. Some of us might even know because we've traveled there. I'm not one of those people. But some people have traveled there to see what it was like, what the rocky, dusty roads were like, what the lush areas full of trees and vegetations and fields, what the waterways were like, and the lakes and the streams, and that amazing phenomenon called the Dead Sea. What it was all like. And we can understand the heat of that Palestinian sun beating down on him during the day. We can picture this. We can see him when he was among the people and when somebody was not wanted and was cast aside by society because of blindness, because of leprosy, because of inability to walk or to use their limbs. And we can see Jesus ministering to them and opening the eyes and causing the legs to be strengthened and restoring flesh where the flesh was in such dire trouble. We can see all of this in his ministry, and we can see that in a typical day. We can see him sitting down with the rich, someone like Nicodemus, someone like like Zacchaeus. People who had made it in life and were not wanting for money or security, but still needed the ministry of Jesus. We can see him communing with the powerful, like a commander of a group of Romans who believed in the one true God. And we can see Jesus ministering and interacting with them. And we can see him ministering with the outcast, like the woman at the well, not welcome in her own community, not welcome among those who would label themselves the true believers, the sons of Abraham, the daughters of Sarah. They would not want to commune with this woman who was a Samaritan. We can see all of these things and we can identify with them and say, yes, that's the Jesus that we worship. That's the Jesus whose life is such an example to us of what it means to live in the presence of your Heavenly Father. We can also see very clearly what it was like for Jesus to give his life for us. The thing that we're remembering today when we gather at the Lord's table. That night in Gethsemane when he agonized over the prospect of taking upon himself the sins of the entire world, past, present, future, and feeling the burden and the hardship of separation from his Heavenly Father. And being obedient in every step of the way, through every hardship, through every pain, through every rejection, the rejection of those in authority, the rejection of those who were religious, the rejection of his own disciples, and to take on that cross and to finish the job, to become the Lamb of God that we sang about. We've seen that. We can see it in our mind's eye. When it's described to us, we can follow him on that road of sorrows. But then we can also picture the day he rose from the dead and triumphed over sin and triumphed over our death, our sin, our separation from God, and made a way for us to be one with God. This we can see. That we knew Jesus was up to. There's no problem about that. However, if we stop there, we miss who he is, because Jesus' story and Jesus' life continues with us to this very day. And I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to understand that he is still, to this day, the same Jesus he was yesterday. And he is still ministering in our midst. And he is still ministering in your life. Now, it seems odd to use an Old Testament verse to bring this point out, but this particular passage tells us in a prophetic way what Jesus' life and ministry are in his strength and in his glory. Like all of the Old Testament prophecies that we see, many of those prophecies can be looked at in several different ways. And if you were to read the book of Micah, you would see that he's talking about God's purposes for Israel, God's children, God's family. And it has much to do about what's going on in the politics and in the geography of the world around Israel. But it also has to do with God's purposes for his good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why there's this verse which says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the majesty of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. A shepherd who watches his flock in strength. And so what will his flock do? They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. I know so little about being a shepherd. I know very, very little about it. I have never once sat out in the rain watching over a bunch of sheep. Not once. Now, when I was in high school, I thought the agriculture class would be a good credit. And so I signed up for agriculture when I was 14 years old. What was I thinking? They took me out to a farm. This is the North Clackamas School District. And back in that day, they had land that now is all suburbia and high schools that was then farmland. And they gave me a little sheep to take care of. A little lamb. I had to tell them that I would owe them $30 for this lamb, but that after I raised it, they would sell it, and that would pay the $30 off. But if I didn't raise it properly, I'd owe them $30. And so here's this little lamb, and I go out to this farm, and I'm like this suburban kid that's, my uncle was a dairy farmer, but all I remember about that is it kind of smelled. And so I'm there with this little lamb, and it's so cute. You want to take it home with you. I had that, and they asked me, could you help get the sheep, the mother sheep, into the barn area? And so the sheep were supposed to come down this place along the fence, and then the barn is over here, and I was supposed to just guide them into the barn. Because somebody was behind the sheep shooing them this way, they were urgently coming this way, and I'm standing here, panicked. I'm going to get trampled by death by sheep, I thought for sure going to happen. And so I went like this because I got scared. And the sheep got scared and they didn't know where to go. And they just kind of halted and stopped. And the other guy said, no, don't wave your arms. We finally got the sheep in. So that's telling you how little I know about sheep. But I've heard about shepherds a lot because I grew up in Sunday school. Did you hear about shepherds a lot growing up in church? We heard that the shepherds watch over their flock. We heard that because that happened on Christmas. We hear that shepherds fight lions and bears because we heard about David. We heard that shepherds sometimes will make an enclosure for their sheep at night because Jesus told us that he is the door into the place of safety, and that's the way you get in is through him into that pen. We heard that lambs are innocent and that their sacrifice can be in atonement, that the sins can be placed on the innocent, and that innocent can be offered as a sacrifice. That was a little harder for us as kids to understand, but it's there. And then we heard the story of Jesus, the Lamb of God, and how he offered himself as that innocent lamb, as a sacrifice. But this particular sheep was also telling us that he was the shepherd. And he stood in front of a group of people and he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd that does it right. I'm the shepherd that makes sure that none of his flock will be lost. That if 99 of the sheep are safe, but one of them is in danger, I'm the one who goes and looks for the one in danger and brings him back home safe. If you're looking for competency in a shepherd, look to me, Jesus said. He's not standing there panicked, waving his arms. He knows what to do for each and every one of his sheep. He knows how to take care of them. And that's the exciting thing about what Jesus is doing today. Because he is not just the shepherd by saying, all right, you're in. Okay, I'm the door, you got in. You're okay. But he's a shepherd by watching over us every single day, in every single situation. He is taking care of us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a living Savior who, though he is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father right now, he is there as our shepherd. He's standing in the strength of the Lord. He's standing in majesty at the right hand of his Father. He's standing and he is not yielding to anyone or anything when it comes to you and how precious you are to him. He's standing there on your behalf, each and every one of us in this room. And he is vigilant in his care, watching over his flock. And he takes special notice of each and every one of us. He's shepherding us. He's caring for us, watching over our every need. He's leading us to the places he prepares for us. And that each step of our life is not happenstance and accident, but is a part of God's providence and care and love and complete and utter attention to you. I'm amazed by that. Actually, I just can't get over it. Something so strong and so wonderful. You see, Jesus doesn't shepherd us like somebody who hopes something will work out right. Jesus doesn't watch over us like somebody who is just kind of setting things in motion and watching how it turns out. But he is shepherding us and watching over us with his love and his care, like someone who is in a place of advantage, you could say, in the situation. He's watching us. He's defending each one of us. He's caring for each one of us. But this watchfulness and this care and this defending is not like I was, completely and utterly powerless and trying to figure out what to do with a little lamb when I was confronted with one. Instead, he has the ability. He has the power. That's what we read in Philippians, that therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and given him or gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the one who not only gave his life for us, not only was raised to new life so that we could with him stand in victory over all of the sin and the death that perplexes us in our lives today, but he is also exalted to the point that everyone, everywhere, should bow and basically be that little lamb. There's a song I used to sing years ago. I don't really sing that song much anymore, but it has a phrase in it that I still like. And this phrase, I remember first singing it when I was like in my 20s. And here's the part of the song. I would rather be a helpless little lamb than a self-sufficient, self-serving man. I would rather end my days a tired old sheep, if I may end them at my good shepherd's feet. Well, when I was younger, I was thinking more about being that lamb instead of the self-serving man. I'm getting toward the end of my life where I'm thinking a little bit more about that tired old sheep and thinking about how that affects me. But I can tell you something, it's exciting to think that this tired old sheep, like all of us, if we ever come to the point of becoming tired old sheep, are going to be able to just lay and repose at the Good Shepherd's feet, where Jesus is, calling us home to enjoy his presence forever. That's a very, very exciting thing. Now, when we were looking at that passage in Micah, it talked about his glory extending to the ends of the earth, and that that is God's purpose. And it talked about the greatness of the Lord, just like Philippians here, talking about his strength, is talking about his greatness. But when we talk about what Jesus is doing lately as far as his greatness, we know lately he's our shepherd. But what about his greatness lately? How is Jesus great in this world today? How is he great in the confusion that we see, not just in our country, but in a lot of countries around the world, confusion about where are we turning? Where are we going? What is happening in our world? As we worry about what's going on in nature, we worry about what's going on in politics and in conflict between nations. When we worry about what's happening to our sense of well-being and who we are in relation in this world, that uneasiness we can have as parents wondering, what's this world going to be like for our children as they grow up? Or us as grandparents wondering what the world is going to be like for our grandchildren. What is this world becoming? Well, one of the things I can tell you by faith, because of my understanding of what the Word of God says, and it's something that we share together, is that we live in a world where Jesus' fame and Jesus' greatness will continue and will grow and will wax to the ends of the earth. We live in a world where that greatness begins by what we see him doing in our hearts, in our lives, because his greatness is going to reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace, is what Micah said. And so how does that greatness happen? It shines in a life like yours and mine that's been rescued. That whole process of once being lost but now found, of once just heading headstrong into destruction, but now finding a place of safety and repose for our hearts. That whole process of coming to faith in Jesus Christ is an amazing, amazing story of the greatness of God and how wonderful he is. He is great when something that was dead can now be alive, when something that was once bent on destruction is now in safety and in peace. Where once there was conflict, arguments, turmoil, strife, a desire to win, now there's a surrender to the one who has won the battle for you and for me. Something great has happened. That's the greatness of Jesus Christ. When you think about his glory reaching the ends of the earth, let me tell you something. The glory starts when it begins in here. When we talk about a world that would be a place where someday, somehow, God is working it, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. That when we see that starting here and then going there from us. It's a story in our life that we share with others. What God is doing in the world is much like a vast, undiscovered country, like a whole new continent that's been discovered. It's like the world we look at has become old, and there's a new world that's been superimposed upon it. You know, many, many, many generations ago, I do not know exactly how long ago, people used some scientific methods to give us some ideas of how long ago it was, but many, many years ago, some people discovered this continent that we're standing on here. They came from Asia, I'm pretty sure. And they discovered this continent. And when they discovered this continent, maybe it wasn't at the most beautiful point in the continent. Maybe it was at a place that seemed a little barren and rocky and icy when they first came to this continent. And they didn't know how big this continent was. They didn't know this continent was even attached to another continent to the south of it. All they knew is they had come somewhere they had not been before. Now, what if one or two people out in a hunting party or some type of party gathering some resources had come across this continent and said, ah, not much there, and gone back and said, I think we better go back the way we came. I wonder how much longer it would have taken for somebody to find this continent. It might have taken a long time. What if they had said, well, I see rocks, I see some big game, I see some fish, but we got those things on our side. So let's just forget about it. Who knows what history would have been like? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's like you've just started on a new continent. And you don't really know how great it is, but you just keep going. You keep exploring. But not only that, but you go to your families and your friends and you say, you should see this new world. You should see what this is like. Yeah, I know, I know I'm not really good at it yet. I know it's kind of tough. I know that I stumble once in a while and I have to go one way and back and go another way to get further into this continent, but it's a new country. That's how the greatness of Jesus Christ spreads to the ends of the earth. That's how we see what Jesus is doing now and what he's up to. So what has he been up to lately? Has it been the same old, same old? Am I just kind of stuck in the old routine? Not really. He's been renewing you, and he continues to want to renew you. And he wants to renew this whole world. He's rebuilding. He's providing for you like the good shepherd. He's healing. He's healing your heart. He can even bring health to your soul and health to your body. He's interceding for you on the right hand of the Father in heaven and taking care of you. And he's calling you and calling so many others to himself. That's just to name a few things that Jesus is doing lately. And this is going to happen to the ends of the earth, as a new continent is made, a new earth is made by our faith in him. Now, you may wonder why I had all these great pictures and really, really detailed pictures earlier, and then all of a sudden we've got this little cartoon guy. Well, I have a reason for that. That was not just because, oh, I got tired of finding pictures. I was getting to the end of the talk. I better just put a... No, I have a reason for putting that in there. That's because, really, this picture is detailed and colored and made more realistic by what Jesus does in your life. And that's how, when the world wants to know, what has Jesus been up to lately, they see you. Even if they see a cartoon, you just sort of starting out with Jesus, just not really too detailed, they're still seeing Jesus at work in you. But as time goes on, it becomes more realistic, and it becomes more detailed. And actually, the Good Shepherd is leading you in such a way that you become a beautiful picture of what God is doing in this world. Let's remember just how much Jesus is doing for us when we go to this table today. Can you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for not leaving us alone, not saying, by saying it is finished, saying, I'm done here, I have no more to do. But instead, when you said it is finished, you also have said by that, it's just beginning in each and every life that comes by faith. Thank you, Jesus, for shepherding us, for caring for us, for giving us so much new to live and to see and to do every moment of every day of our lives. We bless you for that. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.